days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray right now that you will just anoint what we talk about. Holy Spirit, you speak. You speak, Holy Spirit. Open up our spiritual hearing that we may receive it. Give us wisdom to understand it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week, we were actually already over on the other side of the Jordan with the people of Israel. Well, now we're going to go back and just kind of take a few steps into seeing what preparation took place here just before they went from the manna into Canaan. So here they are. They had come through 40 years of just trampling through a desert place. And along the way, an entire generation died. The generation that left Israel and now stood on the banks of the Jordan had all passed away. This new generation that was standing there were the sons and the daughters of those that had left Egypt. And specifically because there was hardness of the hearts of those people. God had took them out of Egypt. He spared them out of Egypt. Yet the moment that they came out of Egypt and into that desert place and God was miraculously providing for them, they were constantly caught in idolatry. They were caught in stiff-neckedness. They were caught in stubbornness. They were constantly complaining about everything. And, you know, God had just, you know, about had it with this group of people. And so God's word never changes. His promises are yes and amen. Everybody say, God's promises are yes and amen. And so he promised his people to bring them into the land of Canaan. However, if those that are stubborn don't want to go there, God is going to raise up through them a generation that will go over. Amen? And so as they're standing now on the banks of the Jordan River, they're looking out and they see the promise on the other side, but here is this river that comes before them. And what happens many times is stumbling blocks get in the way. Last week, we spoke about the stumbling blocks that appear in our path suddenly and are a hindrance to moving forward in our journey. And we said that they appear in many different disguises. Sometimes, you know, a stumbling block can appear in the form of, you know, a health issue. Or it can appear in the form of anger issues or bitterness. Did you know that bitterness is a stumbling block in our life from the Lord blessing us? Anger issues, people that, you know, they blow up right away. And they appear in so many other different ways. Anything that will keep you from going forward becomes a stumbling block in your way. And these stumbling blocks, they disguise themselves. And they even include, listen now, repetitious religious formalities that cause us to become stagnant in our walk with God. What Jesus found when he came to the earth was that not only were, you know, the religious authorities, the elders, you know, that were supposed to be over the people, to lead the people, you know, to the Father's heart, that, you know, not only, you know, were they looking over the commandments, but they had also taken in personal ritualism, personal customs, personal cultural things, and they incorporated it into the law. They mingled it into the law, and they used it as a yoke bondage over the people. And so what happens so often is that we can take these religious formalities that we're used to, and all of a sudden we make them doctrine in our life to the point where they become a stumbling block to the Holy Spirit moving. I'll tell you what, I was so moved this morning when the Holy Spirit just began to break out this morning. We broke a little bit of the, you know, traditional way in which, you know, we open up the service. We just allow God to speak. You know, it gets uncomfortable when you're waiting for somebody to speak and nobody's saying anything. And sometimes, you know, when God is quiet, we get uncomfortable and we feel we have to do something, we have to say something, we have to make some sort of noise to wake up God. That's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit many times awaits for us to quiet down so that he can begin to move and speak and move in his direction. And so what happens, you know, is if you get into these, you know, these custom type of things, these formalism type of things, that they hinder you from going forward. Listen now, whenever a relationship with God is based solely out of routine rituals instead of a pure heart to go deeper with him, it will eventually become dull and lose its intimacy. Last week, we spoke a little bit towards the end of our study on the word challenge. And we, you know, we said that the challenge tests our maturity level and will either expose hidden fear, which is a result of not trusting God, or release faith in us, which takes us into a deeper relationship with God. We stimulate and mature our relationship with God by breaking the routines of religious formality and changing our hearts to go deeper into intimacy. Let me repeat that. We stimulate and mature our relationship with God by breaking routines of religious formalities and challenging our hearts to go deeper into intimacy with him. You know, I always encourage young couples, you know, especially after they get married, to not get so routine in their relationship that they take each other for granted. And sometimes that's what happens with our relationship with the Lord, is we take it for granted. You know, the Lord comes into our lives, he delivers us, he brings us into salvation, into a relationship with him. And what happens many times over time is that we take this relationship for granted and we just kind of, you know, we know what to do. We go through the same old things and we find that ourselves, we're becoming cold in heart. We lose the intimacy with God. We're still doing these things. We're still going through the functions. But somehow that heart connection, that heart emotion that we have with the Lord is no longer there. How many people do we see that are living in relationships with each other, friends, family members? They live in relationships with each other. They still see each other at functions. They still, you know, do the right thing. They say hello to each other, but somehow the heart connection is not there any longer. That happens with our relationship with the Lord unless we find ways to stimulate it. The people of Israel could have very well stayed on the one side of the Jordan that was familiar to them. They knew the terrain there. They had the great memories of the miracles in the desert. They ate manna that they didn't have to work for. Wow, free food. I'll tell you what, you want to have people over your house? Put out the word that there's free food there. You'll have all sorts of people that come in. You know, everybody's your friend when you've got a lot of food on the table. And, you know, this is what was happening, you know, also with the children of Israel. We touched on this last week. They were used to the manna. They were used to the free food. They were used to the lightness of what was going on. They didn't really have to work for anything. They didn't have to worry for it. God just provided it for them. They were comfortable in that environment. But, in effect, the desert wandering had become somewhat of a routine for them. But for all that was familiar and convenient in their experience there, they could not grow, they could not mature as a nation or in their relationship with God unless they took the challenge of going to the other side of the Jordan. You know, sometimes when things become so complacent for us, so comfortable for us, and, you know, we don't want to, you know, move anything. Everything is just comfortable. We know where everything is. We know how far we have to go in something. We don't have to worry about unexpected things coming up in our lives. We just like that, you know, lull level. We kind of lull into it, and we know that that we don't have to expect, you know, surprises in our life that will shake those things out. We can become routine-oriented with familiar wanderings in our life. Let me repeat that. We can become routine-oriented with familiar wanderings in our life. We can go to church regularly on a scheduled setting. Well, you know, today it says that it's Sunday morning, and, you know, if I look at the schedule at 10:45, you know, the service starts, so I get there at 10:45, and, you know, and then, you know, those of us that come out on Wednesday night, well, at 6:30, we've got the prayer meeting, you know, or, you know, you wake up in the morning and say, well, this is the time, you know, between this time and this time, you know, that I'm able to read a Bible, I'm going through this book, you know, and become so routine oriented, we know exactly what to do, that, you know, as long as something isn't interrupted, we're comfortable in just going through that way. You know what the problem is when we do things like that? We lose the heart connection, because you just know what to do, you know exactly what to expect out of it, but there's no surprise element of the Lord doing something greater in our lives, you see. We read our Bibles regularly in the same time intervals. We read the same passages that are familiar to us, and we've become comfortable with them. We know exactly what they say, and we always pick the passages that show God's mercy and his love towards us. Can memorize the catchy songs that we sing in our sleep. But unless we allow the Holy Spirit to continually stimulate our relationship with him and take us to unfamiliar places in the heart of Jesus, that will die a slow spiritual death in a desert place of complacency, because of all the while routine gets old, intimacy fades, and all that's left is an empty formality that costs us time on Sunday morning and religious holidays. God allowed an entire generation, we said, that was comfortable and rebellious and had a complaining spirit to die in the desert because they didn't want to be challenged to go any further from where they were. God had a plan to get his people from Egypt into a promise. God had a plan for his people to grow along the way. God had a people to establish a nation so that they wouldn't just be wandering people that were wandering all over the face of the earth. God had established a place in which the nation of Israel could claim their inheritance from the Lord, but they were just happy just doing their own thing. They complained about everything. You know what happens when we become comfortable? The first thing that happens when we become comfortable is we begin to complain. Come on. Anything that disrupts that comfort zone, anything that gets in the way, anything that, you know, somebody says that's not in accordance with the way that you, that you perceive things. Anytime that, the coffee's cold or, you know, something is happening along the way, you get upset about it and you begin to make a big deal and you begin to, get upset and, you know, you complain about it. Isn't that what's happening with the nation of Israel? Read through it. Everywhere along the way, they left Egypt. They didn't know where their food was coming from. Oh, that we had those onions back in Egypt. There were cucumbers. And onions. Oh, that we had the cucumbers. I don't know how you're going to put those two things together. I guess Italians can do anything, right? You're Italian, right? Cucumbers, onions. All right. So God, what does he do? He sends manna. The manna's okay for a day. Next day, they look at it as leftovers. Oh, this manna. I'm getting tired of manna. Oh, if I only had a steak. So God gives them quail. And they ate so much quail, they got sick on quail. What do? They complain. Oh, God, why did you give us all this stuff in our bellies? You know, why did you bring us here in the middle of nowhere? And then they wanted water. There's no water in the desert. God brings water out of a rock. Now they keep coming back to the rock, and they have more faith in a rock than they have in God. Are you getting the gist of this? When you get comfortable in something, the first thing you do when it breaks your comfort zone, when you lose the intimacy, when you lose the excitement of that relationship, you begin to just complain and become complacent about everything that's going on there. God allowed an entire nation to perish because of this. Listen now, there's a difference between remaining constant in our walk with God and getting into a constant routine. Let me repeat that. There's a difference between remaining constant with our walk with God and getting into a constant routine. Remaining constant means to walk in faith. I'm constant in my walk with faith. I'm constant in believing God. I'm constant knowing that God's promises are yes and amen in my life. I'm constant that Jesus loves me. I'm constant that the Holy Spirit has filled my life. I'm constant in knowing that the Father endures me. The Father expects myself to come into His presence to embrace me. I'm constant in my walk with Him. I'm constant in believing what He said, that He will save not only me, but those that are in my family. This promise is for you and for all those that are afar off. I'm constant in my walk with Him. I may not see it because I walk by faith and not by sight. That's what it means to walk constant with God. But getting into a constant routine is different. A constant routine means to walk without interest. It means to walk disinterested because it's just part of a routine. You know, this is what I do. I don't have to be happy about it. I don't have to show any emotion about it. This is what I do. When you get hungry, what do? You sit down and eat. You don't necessarily have to enjoy your food. You don't necessarily have to be thankful for the food. You just sit down and you begin to eat. It's a constant routine. I get hungry, I eat. I get thirsty, I drink. You don't realize the blessing that is there. You see, there's a difference in those two. And so the way we challenge our walk with God is to follow after His presence. The way we challenge our walk with God is to follow after His presence. We don't wait for God to come after us. Come on. God, here I am. God, I'm in my seat. I dare you to come. Listen. Though God is constant, remember we talked about constant, being constant with God, and having a constant routine in your relationship with Him. Though God is constant, He is not routine. Though God is constant, He is not routine. And we see this in Revelation chapter 4 perfectly when He reveals to us that there is nothing routine about the way that God reveals Himself in heaven. The Bible describes Him that He who sits on the throne expresses Himself in lightnings, in thunderings, in the most beautiful rays of lights that spring forth out of His being. The Bible tells us that when He speaks, it sounds like rivers of rushing mighty waters. There is something majestic that is going on around the throne of God. Read Revelation chapter 4 when you get a chance. And you will see that the God that you serve is not boring. He is not a routine God, but He is a God that is continuously showing forth the beauty out of Himself, that those two angels, those two seraphims that are on side by side, every time God exerts these rays of light and God produces this beauty that comes out of Him, they're caught in awe, and they've been doing this for billions of years. All they can do is say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." They don't have anything else to say, Mark. They don't have anything else to say, Jeff. What, did they lose their speech? They forget what to say? All they can say is holy? They're so repetitious before God? Think about the awesome, awestruck state that they're in every time God releases Himself in this beauty. And they've been up there for billions of years. Could you imagine our relationship with God? That many times we come to that point with the Lord of just kind of going through the motions, doing what we do in order to get things accomplished. Listen now. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was represented by the Ark of the Covenant. As long as the Ark was in their camp, God's presence was in the midst of his people. When God moved his people, his presence went before them through the Ark. Are you getting this? This is not just a piece of furniture that they're moving around. This represented the presence of Almighty God. And sometimes, listen now, we make our decisions in life and we leave God's presence in the background, and all of a sudden, you know, we say, hey, God, where are you? How come I find myself in this mess? Why is it that I don't have any answers to this? Why is it that I'm in the midst of this situation and I don't hear your voice, that you're not moving as you used to in my life? And what happens is we've left God's presence in the back. We've made our decisions. We've got in the car. We go off. And then we realize somehow God's presence isn't with us. Well, I love this because every time the children of Israel had to move somewhere, the presence of the Lord, the ark with the priests that were bearing it, went to the front of the camp. Wherever the ark moved, what was that little thing that we used to play when we were kids? Follow the leader. You know, you follow the leader wherever the leader went, and you know, the leader went all over the place. He went through closets. He went through also, and you just followed. You didn't say why. You didn't question. You didn't break the camp. You just followed the leader. And so what happens is, you know, the priests with the ark that represented the presence of the Lord, it goes before them. So God didn't just say, listen, I want you to, you know, leave this side of the Jordan, go to the other side and make a life for yourself. God said, I'm going to take you to the other side and I'm going to get to the front of this camp and I'm going to lead you right through these waters over to the other side. Woo! You know what happens when you let the presence of God go before you? There is spiritual warfare that's taking place of things that are unseen, that are waiting for us as stumbling blocks in our life, that the Holy Spirit begins to move out of the way. Joshua 3:3 says this. See, God is giving these instructions. I know it says that the leaders went through the camp, but the Lord is speaking through the people, through the leaders in these instructions. And this is what the Lord is saying to his people. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see that the ark is moving, then you shall set out from your place. Listen, we must follow God's presence to be in the, we must allow God's presence to be in the center of our lives. We must allow God's presence to be in the center of our lives. And not just on Sunday morning. God's presence represents everything in Christ Jesus being yes and amen. And Colossians chapter 2:10 tells us that we are complete in him. So when God's presence shifts in and out of our lives continuously, you know, we feel good on this Sunday morning, God's presence is with me. Oh, well, Monday comes around and, you know, I just don't feel God's presence that way. And, you know, I'm going to do things, you know, just to try to get to the next Sunday morning. Well, you know what happens when we allow God's presence to shift in and out of our lives? We become incomplete. So if Colossians 2:10 saying that we are complete in him, if God's presence is not steadily founded in our lives, we become incomplete. And where do we see this incompleteness? We see incompleteness in relationships. We see incompleteness in our finances. We see incompleteness in our emotional state. We find incompleteness in every part of our lives. When God's presence comes in and out, we kind of leave him behind on this thing. And then all of a sudden we want him to lead us again. You see. Listen, We break routine when we follow God's presence and allow the Holy Spirit to stimulate our worship and intimacy with Jesus, breaking traditional barriers of cultural and ritualistic practices that hold us in deserted places in our relationship with Him. So God says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, what will you do? Then you will set out from your place and go after it. Everybody say, set out from your place. Go after it. Try this again. Set out from your place. Go after it. Look at that phrase that the Lord uses, set out from your place. It's actually one word in the Hebrew translation. It's the word nasa. And what nasa means is to pull up the tent pins. It means to remove a hindrance. It means to go forward. In biblical times, it was the reference to pulling up the stakes of your stationary tent place and taking a new journey. Wow. So when the Lord is saying to his people, he's saying, set out from your place. What he's saying is, take the tent that you're in, the stationary place, the place in which, you know, you've founded yourself in, this place right in the middle of the desert, the place in which, you know, you're saying, you know, I'm getting comfortable here. I'm getting complacent here. I don't have to worry about anything here. God is saying, pick up your tent, take the stakes out of the ground, and get ready to move for a journey that I'm going to take you on. Wow. Think about that. The next time, you know, we just, come into God's presence and we just want to do the same old thing. We sit in the same position. We pray in the same position. We sing in the same position. And, you know, it just becomes very routine. And God is, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, take the stakes out of the ground and let me take you into a place into the Father's heart you haven't been before. I believe that God is telling us in this season to set out from your place. Pick up your tent pins from the familiar places that have become a hindrance and a complacency and dull repetitions in our worship of Him. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us deeper into uncharted journey through the Father's heart. He's saying, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself by changing your position and following me through unfamiliar rivers and waters and come to a land that is filled with milk and honey. Set out from your place. And then he says, go after it. Everybody say, go after it. Go after it. It's actually two words there. In Hebrew, it's the word halak and achar. Halak and achar. When you take these two words and you bring them together, it means to move progressively and pursue something. To move progressively and to pursue something. Move progressively and to pursue something. So, God isn't just saying to them, okay, take the stakes out of the ground and get ready to just stand there and do nothing. He's saying the reason that you're taking the stakes out of the ground is when you see my presence move, you go after it. Did you get that? You go after, although, God, here I am. God, I'm in the same place. God, I've always been here. I've been here for 40 years. You know exactly where I am. You know my address, God. Come and get me. God is saying, when my presence moves, you make sure those stakes are out of the ground just like I told you to. And God always shows us when to take the stakes up. Come on, you know. You get that uneasy feeling, you know, that, you know, the comfort level's about to break. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where to touch you on this thing. And he says, when you take those things and my presence moves, you go after it. And this is what the term means. It is the symbol of a hunter that goes after his prey and is not satisfied until he seizes it. Go after it. Go after it. Wow. So here they are. They're on the side. These waters are coming up to their feet, or up to where their feet were standing. And they see water. They see the promise on the other side, but all they see is an ocean that's in front of it. God is saying, don't look at the waters. You know what happened to Peter when he looked at the water, right? Everything was fine when he had his eyes on Jesus. Now all of a sudden he starts looking at the water. You know, it happens like this many times in our relationship with the Lord. We look at the deficiencies in our life and we pull back. Instead of looking at God's provision in our life, we look at our own deficiencies. God help us. Oh God, I don't have enough love for this person. Oh God, you know that, you know, give me the love for this person. Holy Spirit says, I've already put the love in you. You just have to exercise it. Oh God, I just don't have enough money here. You know, God, I don't know what to do. Oh God, you know, I can't have this relationship. Oh, and, you know, and it's always the O's and look at the deficiencies. I can't sing like that person. I can't preach like that person. I can't testify like that person. No, all we're doing is just kind of pulling back. God's presence is moving in one direction and we're going in the other, taking steps back. Well, look, here's this people and they needed to go forward. We need to be challenged to go after God in this manner. Listen, passively pursuing God will leave us on the wrong side of the Jordan, empty and delusional of spiritual growth. Passively pursuing God will leave us on the wrong side of the Jordan, empty and in delusion of spiritual growth. Many Christians drive their tent pins deeper when God's Spirit begins to move. You know anybody like that? They're afraid of being rocked by the power of God in their lives. They become afraid and intimidated by direction God takes and the ways that he changes the atmosphere. Consider this with me. That out of thousands of people that Jesus ministered to in his earthly ministry, countless healings and deliverances from demonic oppressions, he fed over 5,000 men, women, and children in one sitting. Try to do that sometime. Yet on the day of Pentecost, when God's web swept across the earth and through the upper room, only 120 people took the challenge to pray and go hard after God. Some people just love to put their stakes in the ground when God is about to move and begin to move his presence in a different way than what we're used to doing. God said, I'm going to lead you into a greater inheritance. You will cross the Jordan, but I will go before you. You shall set out from your place, and you will go after it. You ever ask this question, God, what am I going after? Anybody here? God, what am I going after? I know you're moving, but what's there? In following the ark into the Jordan, they needed to leave behind the desert ways of doing things. We can very well get very comfortable in the desert ways of doing things. Their stubborn, complaining, and unchallenged ways. They needed to leave behind the golden calf abomination in the base of Mount Sinai. Listen now. They needed to leave behind human reasoning, intellectual arguments, and scientific explanations. God, what does science have to say about this? How do you prove this? They were to follow God's presence, even though in the natural sense, with the Jordan waters in front of them, they didn't fully understand where God was leading, but they were assured of this. The ark was moving. They followed the ark because in verse 4 of this chapter, God is saying this very simple phrase, for you have not passed this way before. For you have not, you see, familiar places, we don't need God. God, I already know my way around here. I've been here 1,000 times. God, I already know, you know, how to worship. You know, I've done it 1,000 times. God, I already know how to pray. I've done it this way 1,000 times. You haven't passed this way before. And I believe God is speaking to our hearts, saying, challenge yourself. You haven't passed this way before. I want to take you into a deeper place in my heart. Listen, what are you allowing God's presence to challenge you with? I want us to take one more minute. We're going to close in about 60 seconds, okay? But I want you to take 25 seconds. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Everybody's eyes, just looking upon Jesus. We can become very comfortable in our ways. And the question I want to leave with you here is, what are you allowing God's presence to challenge you with? So this morning, as it's just you and Jesus, the Holy Spirit is witness, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, show me something right now that I'm not comfortable doing that will challenge me to go deeper with Jesus. Between you and the Lord. It doesn't have to be what your friend says next to you, what the person next to you is thinking. It's you and Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal something to you right now. If you're allowing him to take you to a place that you haven't been before, stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Something that you've said along the way, I can't do this on my own. And the next question I want to ask you, where are you allowing God's presence to lead you? Do you want to do an about face and go back into the desert? Or are you willing to go in the same direction of the ark, even if it means going through the Jordan? You have not passed. The word that's there is the word abarat. It means to go over. It means to cross. It means to go beyond. Are you getting this? God doesn't just want you to get into the middle of the Jordan. God just doesn't want you to get to the other side, on the shore side. He wants you to go beyond. Beyond where you are. Beyond what you can see in the natural. He wants to take you there. He'll show it to you right now. As you're saying, God, challenge me. He'll show you right now how far he wants to take you. You have not passed this way, meaning a journey. God was telling them, take the challenge to change your position and follow my presence. I will lead you into a new journey. And then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God wants to do wonders in our life. He wants to do something greater in our lives. He wants to blow our minds with his presence. But it requires that we sanctify ourselves. You see, the people couldn't go over the Jordan with the same mindset that they had in the desert. So he's saying to them, sanctify yourself. Change your thinking. And what that word sanctify means, it means to prepare. It means to consecrate. And it means to dedicate. Prepare, consecrate, and dedicate. Set yourself apart. Prepare yourself for what God wants to do in your life. Prepare yourself. You know what they were doing in that upper room, that 120 people? They were praying. They were singing worship. They were talking amongst themselves of what Jesus had done in their lives, that Jesus was alive. They saw the risen Jesus. There needs to be a communication of our heart with heaven. Sanctify yourself. Prepare. Set yourself apart from the things that are keeping you occupied from going deeper into the Lord. You know what those things are. The things that constantly come up in front of you and you're saying, God, I can't serve you any further because of this thing. Dedicate yourself. Set yourself apart. And watch the power of God move in your life. Stand with me. I'm just going to open up the altars this morning. That we would just allow ourselves, even if it's for a few moments. I'm not asking you to stay for hours. But for a few moments, maybe you want to stay in your seat. That's okay. That's all right. Listen, this is not about, again, this is not about some traditional routine that we do. But what I'm saying is change the position that you're in. Change your spiritual position, and that begins with even changing our physical position. If you don't raise your hands, raise your hands. If you're not used to speaking out, to praying out, pray out. Do something different. The presence of God wants to move in our lives in this season, and he wants to take us forward. And he's saying, sanctify yourselves, prepare yourselves, dedicate yourself, and get your heart in focus with what I want to do. Holy Spirit, show us. Show us. Teach us how to fast. Those of us, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us on fasting. And we're afraid to do it because we're afraid to miss a meal. We don't know what's going to happen. We might get too hungry. The Holy Spirit says, I will sustain you. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hungry. But he's saying, I'm going to sustain you through it. Those of us that are not used to praying, the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I want to take you deep into my heart, but the only way to show it to you is if you allow me to speak into your heart, for me to show you my heart. So maybe you're just used to praying 5 minutes in the morning and then running out. The Holy Spirit here is saying, put aside a half hour and I'll show you deeper things that you've never seen. I will blow your mind. Maybe we don't know how to read the word, and you know, we constantly fall into the familiar places. We know where the verses are. The Holy Spirit is saying, let me take you into deeper places, places that you didn't think you would ever understand. I will give you wisdom. I will give you revelation. I'll show you how to apply it to your life. The Holy Spirit is showing this now, this morning. Those of us there are saying, I don't have time. Listen, for Wednesday nights, I encourage you. I encourage you on Wednesday night. I encourage everybody, even if it's just for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to come and agree in what God is doing. He's already doing. The Holy Spirit this past Wednesday night broke out in this place. I don't know what it takes. The Holy Spirit is revealing it to you. But it's not something that you're going to be comfortable in doing. See, that's how you know it's the Holy Spirit or it's not the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be comfortable in doing this. But this is where routine gives way to a constant walk of faith. Jesus, I'm going to take this step of faith, and you're going to help me through this. Father, I thank you for your people. I release them, Lord, into what you have, their inheritance, God. I release them into their inheritance that they have with you. And I pray, Lord God, that this day that you would have, Lord, planted that seed for us to grow into a mighty nation with the power of Jesus in our lives. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Guide us. Break routine. Break routine. Holy Spirit, break routine in our life. Burn away chaff. Useless stuff. Stuff, God. Stuff. Stuff that clutters our lives. Burn it up. We pray for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go home.